Hi, everyone. Welcome. Hey, we are going to be in 1st and 2nd Timothy, but before we go there, we're going to just be in Ephesians really quick. So kind of put your fingers there. Ephesians 4 is where we're going to kind of jump off, and then we're going to move to Timothy. How are you guys? Welcome. So Timothy, we're going to be in 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy is one of the wonderful, stalwart, lovely, and here comes our two cute missionaries. What is up? How is the work going? Yeah, very cool. We're glad you're here. Timothy is one of Paul's dearest. Hi, Mama. Let me just chat with you right now, should I? I'm with my girlfriends. I see cute Sue Smith here. I totally let her down on Sunday. Had a little family thing that got in the way, and she didn't even know about it, but she forgave me immediately. And then when she knew about it, she was sweeter than ever. But I love being with you. So thanks, Sue. That was a tender mercy that you were so sweet about me totally letting you down. So, but I love you. Timothy is one of Paul's very best friends. He is a wonderful support to Paul. I think except for Luke, he probably is, I would consider him one of his top five BFFs for sure. He is really close to Paul. Paul relies on him a lot. And so I think it's pretty cool then that really the very last letter that Paul will write before he is martyred will be to Timothy. Isn't that kind of sweet? Isn't that really, it really touches my heart. 1 Timothy is written after Paul's first imprisonment. And this is not something that you really need to hang on to, but I think this is kind of cool that 2 Timothy is the very last epistle that Paul wrote before he dies. And I think it's very tender that he chooses Timothy to write it to. Timothy is one of the leaders of the church. He's a wonderful missionary, and he is one of the leaders in the church at Ephesus. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, that was the book that we talked about when I talked last, Ephesians. And it really is sent to a group of people that are already very devoted to the Savior. They're a part of the primitive church. They get it, so to speak, and they're trying their best, and Paul's encouraging them. And these letters to Timothy seem to be about encouraging Timothy in his leadership position, in his calling, if you will, which is kind of cool because I know that, you know, we're all here and we all, well, not all of us, but some of us, a lot of us belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A lot of you in here have callings. And even if you're not a member of the church and you're a follower of the Savior, you all have things that you are responsible for, you know? You don't have to have a calling to serve Jesus. It's very cool that the church offers callings to kind of help you along that path, but you don't have to have a calling to serve. So those of you that maybe are not members of the church here, but are followers of the Lord, that's very cool. So really, Paul is speaking to you too. Anybody that wants to follow Jesus, these are words for you. So if you remember, Ephesians 4 is where we were a couple weeks ago. And Paul gives wonderful verses that we've all heard of as being members of the church. We've all seen it. But in chapter 4, if you see in verse 11, he talks about callings in the church. And he talks about, we talked about this a lot, so we're not going to focus on it too much. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He's throwing out different callings in the church. And then he gives us the reason why. You know, why do we have a church set up? Why, when the prophet Joseph was restoring the church, it's so genius that we have set up in our church so many opportunities that are just sugar-coated for us to serve. Isn't it amazing? You think about your callings. That's all they are. They're just, whenever you get called to do something, in my mind, it's just Heavenly Father's way of saying, hey, here's a way for you to serve. That's all it is. Isn't it awesome that we belong to a church that gives us so many ways and means to serve each other? And he says in verse 12, the reasons why we have the church, the reason why we have callings, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, to help us become more perfect. In other words, to help us become more like our Savior. And notice through all these words that Paul is going to talk about today, the end result and the means as well is always all about Jesus. The means is about Jesus. The end result is about Jesus. It's very cool. The perfecting of the saints, we can be like Jesus. The next thing, for the work of the ministry, to preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? Jesus, Heavenly Father. Everything in the church is about Jesus and Heavenly Father. The whole reason we're here today is to learn about Jesus, because he's the only one that really gets all the stuff we're going through. And he's the only one that can take us home. The whole reason we go to church on Sunday is to take that sacrament so that we can remember his sacrifice. And then often we have really good speakers. But it's always about the sacrament. Edifying the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come, isn't this cool, in the unity of the faith. And notice that it doesn't say in the unity of we have to be like each other, but in the unity of the faith which is our Savior. It would be very boring to all be alike. And that is the most, I think, one of the wonderful things that the Savior teaches us. You know, in Ephesians 2, we're not going to go there, but Paul says, you are no more strangers. Isn't that cool? You're no more strangers. When the Savior came to the earth, his whole purpose was seeking out those that were strange. You know, in Latin, it comes from a word called, and we all know this word, different. And sometimes in our world today, it's not really great to be different, because sometimes you're kind of put aside. But the Savior is so cool because he embraces those that are different. He doesn't just hope that the different have a good life, but he seeks them out. You know, he's the one touching the leper and healing him. You know, he's the one getting on the ground with the woman taken in adultery and talking with her face to face. Isn't that awesome? This is the Lord we follow. There's nothing that you can do, you guys, that is going to put him off, that is going to make him think you're less than. Nothing. Because the cool part about the whole gospel is that he's been where you've been right now. So whatever you're going through, mistakes you've made right now or in the past, the good news of the gospel is that he has been there with you. He knows what you're going through. And his whole purpose is to find you and then just to bring you home. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it great to be a member of the church? Isn't it great to know about Jesus? So who are you sitting by today? Do you even know who you're sitting by today? Do you? Do you know, like, okay, so we're going to do this little tape recorder person. You don't know what we're doing right now, but we are going to, I want you to take like a minute, and I want to give you to give everybody around you a hug, tell them your name, and visit for a sec. Okay, do it. Everybody better be talked to. I'm seeing someone sitting alone. I'm pretty sure I just opened a can of worms. I'm never going to get you back, am I? Who thinks we're the coolest? We're pretty cool. You know, don't you just love each other? You know, we have friends that are in from Peru, and they are on the verge of getting baptized. And we had them here 2 years ago, taught them the gospel, and then they went back home. The missionaries taught them the gospel. Now they're back up with us. They stayed with us for a couple weeks. Now they're up in Brigham City with the missionary that taught them the gospel. And we're trying to arrange a time now for my husband, Mike, to fly down to Peru and baptize Javier and his family. And whenever they talk about the gospel, you know what they say? And I'm probably not saying it right. Asubroso. Who speaks Spanish in here? They say it, in other words, the gospel is awesome. They say asubroso. It's like Spanish for the very coolest thing ever. And Mike and I have talked about how often, because we're in it all the time, that we kind of take it for granted. Do we really know what we have? How amazing it is to know about our Savior and to really have this really complete understanding, if we'll just keep looking, about the atoning sacrifice and how much Heavenly Father loves you. You know, on Saturday afternoons, there's a really cool program on NPR, National Public Radio, and they do little vignettes about excursions in really funky places that kind of are barren places and off the beaten track. And I am one of those people that love Nebraska and Kansas. Like, we were driving back to Missouri with our friends, the Gooblers, for a little, and I actually am one of those people that think Kansas is really cool. It's just flat, and it's barren, and so is Nebraska, but for whatever reason, I really like that. Like, my ultimate trip is, I can't wait to go to Mongolia someday. Like, that sounds cool to me. So I love listening to this program, and it was about a woman. It was 2 weeks ago. It was about a woman who was swimming in Antarctica, the Antarctic Ocean. Yeah, who does that? And she had this goal to get somewhere, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but she was really struggling, and the tide was kind of working against her. So no matter how hard she swam, she wasn't going anywhere. And she says it was so amazing, because as she was ready to give up, this current of, like she said, about 50 dolphins just rose up and began swimming with her. And she said as they swam with her, the ocean got warmer. And she said it was almost like she was in one of those pools where, you know, at the Lions Club, you get in it and you kind of walk with the current. You don't have to do much work. If you walk against it, it's hard. But if you walk with it, it's awesome. She said it felt like that. She said it happened twice on her way to her destination, that when the tide would get really hard, this dolphin, these 50 dolphins would just rise up with her and they swam with her. And it was just the most cool image, and I just envisioned that, you know, as women in the gospel and as women, that we love each other and we rise up with each other and we swim with each other. And when one of us is struggling, you know, we don't think, oh, she's struggling, I'm not. We think, she's struggling, how can I help? I'm going to go swim with her. If you look with me, and we've looked here before, but I think it's important to do it again, in 3 Nephi chapter 17, you know, this is kind of my hope for us. And as we begin today talking about how we can do better in our callings and be better members of the church and be there for each other, this is my hope as we follow the example of the dolphins swimming with someone who is struggling. If you look in 3 Nephi 17, and we've been here a million times, but it's good to go one more time. If you look in verse 7, these wonderful words, have you any that are sick among you? These are the two words I want you to look at. Bring them. Not send them, not lead them, bring them. That implies going together, you know, arm in arm, together, bringing each other. Have you any that are lame, blind, halt, maimed, leprous? Go down a couple more lines. Bring them. Isn't that cool? And then look in verse 10. And they did all, both they who had been healed and they who were whole. So everybody, no matter where you were on the path, they all brought each other together to the Savior. And then look how cool. They did bow down at his feet. They worshiped him. They did kiss his feet with their tears. And he healed them. Whether or not they were whole or whether or not they needed healing, everybody needs to be with the Savior. So as we contemplate these words of Paul, you guys, you know, we are all in this together. And there are so many things that kind of play on us and that try to rip us with our, you know, the time and you got to do this, you got to do that. And I know that we're so busy. And so I'm hoping in these next 45 minutes or so that we can just stop for a moment and think about these wonderful words of this great apostle to maybe hopefully settle us in a better place upon our beloved Savior. Because everything he's going to talk about is not only the means is Jesus, but the end is Jesus as well. So with that in mind, you guys, let's look, and we're going to start with Paul's last words, just one verse, and then we're going to just kind of look at that. That's going to be our theme for today. If you look in 2 Timothy, and if you look in the very last chapter of 2 Timothy, where's Amy? Amy, I'm almost ready, okay. Chapter 4, verse 7. You all know these words. It's going to be our theme for today. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight, he says. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Okay? I want you to stay there. And I want you to look up here.
And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are... Are you ready? It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you.
Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on?
Thanks, bud. And then we'll do that last one after. My favorite line is, my sweaters are snagging. You know, in that video, it's, you know, it's that whole thing with our husbands. They want to fix things. We want them to just listen. It's not about the now. But I guess my comment today was, you know what, guys? Sometimes it's just about the now. Sometimes the fix to our problems is so obvious that I don't know what the deal is, because I'm speaking to myself. We miss it sometimes. And you know what I'm noticing in my life is some of the easiest things to do, for whatever reason, because they're easy to do, they're also easy not to do. And the amazing thing is, sometimes it is about the now. There are certain things that when we do them, things are easier. And what I find in my life, the most amazing thing is that I often let a lot of stuff get in the way of making my life easier. I find that when I am in the scriptures, when I'm in prayer, when I find myself in the temple regularly, things go better. I feel more connected. It seems the problems or the things weighing upon me, I have a better perspective. And the thing that just blows my mind is how sometimes when I'm in the middle of a lot of stuff, I don't do those things. And then I wonder why life is so hard. You know, Paul's words are going to be so cool, because today it's about the now. There are little things that we can do that will help us on our journey and make it so it is just easier, because life is hard enough. And sometimes I think we have it backwards. We think somehow the world, you know, is the answer to our problems. It's the exact opposite. You know, we think the world is easy and the gospel, doing what we're supposed to do, is hard. No, it's not. Reading our scriptures every day is actually pretty easy. You sit down and you open a book. It's not going to the dentist. It's sitting down and opening a book and talking to our Heavenly Father. Oh, that I don't have time. Really? Out of 24 hours, you can't take a few minutes to talk to the person that is in love with you and more than any other person wants the best for you? It's so simple, and yet sometimes because it's so simple, we make it so hard, and it's just easy not to do it. If you look with me, sisters, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about the scriptures and how important they are. And I don't want this to be a lesson where you feel like, oh, I'm telling you, read your scriptures. But I'm hoping it's where you'll think about, you know, I want to spend more time in my scriptures, because when I'm in my scriptures, you know what that does? It's leading me to Him. And I want to be with Him, you know? And the more I read about Him, the more I love Him, the more I want to be like Him, the easier it is to get through my day, because He has been in my day. So Paul makes some wonderful comments, and I just wanted you to kind of see this little theme that he throws out for those that are of the ministry and that are in the church to be doing on a regular basis. So chapter 4, we're going to just go through these verses 5 and 6. Talking about, you know, how we should spend our time, he says in verse 5, for it is sanctified, and notice the words, by the word of God and prayer. It's sanctified. It's holy. That's why it's so awesome to be here together, turning our pages, looking in the scriptures as women together in the scriptures. How awesome is that? Learning about our Lord. Verse 6, 1 Nephi 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Notice that phrase, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Notice those words, nourished. Of faith and doctrine. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Look in verse 13. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Notice the phrase he uses to describe the Word of God and how we should be with it. Hold fast. Notice that phrase? Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And you know, we're not going to turn there, but if you remember back to the Tree of Life in the Book of Mormon, we have this wonderful tree. It was Jesus, always Jesus. The fruit of the tree is the atonement of Jesus. And the way to get there is what? What do you have to hang on to? The iron rod. The iron rod is, you know, the wonderful song, the Word of God. But there's two groups of people that get to Jesus grabbing onto the iron rod. The first group that gets to Jesus used the word, they clung to it. And clinging implies kind of grasping from time to time. They make their way to him, but stuff gets in the way. They get a little embarrassed, and they fall away. The people in the big building are mocking them, and they fall away. The only people that make it to him and stay are those that are holding fast to the rod of iron. You know, that are in their scriptures on a regular basis. And I would submit to you, sisters, that this is the nail in the forehead. It's obvious, and yet sometimes we make it so much harder than it is. Let's be in the scriptures every day, you guys. Let's have our children in the scriptures every day. Let's be together as a family every day in our scriptures. And I know that we think, oh, that's hard. What's hard is if we don't. Because then the world will make it so much harder. We want our children to have that moment, that one-on-one moment. We want them to know that their family is there for them in the scriptures. And our children want to see their parents in the scriptures. That goes a long way. So when we say, okay, our ward has this really cool saying, drop and give me 10. Isn't that cool? My boys are on it. And it's so nice that they are able to see their mom and dad doing it too. Oh, it's too hard. What's hard is if we don't. Then the world is so much louder than the soft spirit that we want our kids to have and that we want to have. And the cool part about it is that Jesus isn't just telling us to do this, he did it. He was in the scriptures. He loved the scriptures. He knew them. He read them. When he is being tempted in the wilderness by Satan, you know how he fights off the temptation? He fights it off through scriptures. He doesn't fight it off through his magic powers. He fights it off through scriptures. Isn't that cool? When he announces his ministry, he doesn't do some big la-di-da thing. He's so amazing. He uses his powers for stuff like that. Never. You know how he announces his ministry? We've talked about it. He gets up in church, he opens to Isaiah, and he reads about the healing power of the Messiah and how he's come to deliver those that are different, those that are strangers. He's come to find us, those that are going through heartaches right now, those that have heavy backpacks right now. Some people, and a lot of times you're going through stuff that on the outside, your world looks so sweet and cool, but on the inside, you've got heavy stuff that no one knows. But guess what? He knows. So don't we want to be with him? You know, don't we want to spend some time with him? And then don't we want him to come with us through our day? It doesn't have to be so hard, you guys. We can make it so much easier. Let's just pull that stinking nail out. Joseph Smith. You know, every cool thing that happened in the Restoration happened because this kid and this man read something in Scripture. The first vision. You know, the priesthood, baptism. It's crazy because he's reading Moses 1, one of the greatest chapters in all of Holy Writ, comes because he's in the Bible. We can do this, you guys. We can do this. Go with me, if you will, now to chapter 3, verse 10. Second Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, he says, the manner of life. This is what we find in the Scriptures. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Go down to verse 15, same chapter. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Go back to 1 Nephi chapter 4, or I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Kind of going back and forth. You know, I know you guys are watching the Olympics like me. Love, love, love the Olympics. And you know what? A phrase I've kind of been noticing when they talk about, well, I noticed it especially with the girl from Lake Tahoe that won the first snowboard slope competition. It was just cool. And the guy who won it too from Park City. And he did this, like, a trick he had never done before in competition. Did you heard about that? And they were talking about, they said a phrase, and I'm going to totally kill the phrase, but it was something to the extent that this big moment was preceded by a lot of little tiny moments, something to that effect. That this moment of, you know, him and her doing this incredible routine that got him the highest score and the very first gold medal in this competition was preceded by a lot of little things, you know? A lot of hard work that nobody ever sees. You know, people prepare for the Olympics for years, and then they've got like 30 seconds to own it. It's insane. And don't you just, you know, be so sad when someone falls? And I'm not pure. I mean, I love the Americans, but I'm just as sad when other people fall. I feel so sad for them because they have practiced and practiced. And then I think, you know what? They got to the Olympics. Isn't that awesome? But big moments, you guys, can be preceded by just those little things. I read a phrase one day. It says, consistency is so much cooler than talent. I like that. And we're not all talented in the same things, but consistency, you know, keeping going, doing those little things, those reading our scriptures. Now I come to just something that we all have right now. Almost everybody in here has a calling. I want you to think about that calling for just a second. Even if you don't have anything other than you're a visiting teacher, best calling in the church, my opinion. I want you to think about that calling. I want you to think about your investment in that calling. And I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to feel empowered about what we're going to read right now. I want you to look with me down into verse 14 of this same chapter. Okay? And Paul says, talking about callings, our role in the gospel in the church. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. You were called of God to your gift, to your talent, to your calling, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. You know, most of you, I hope, for your callings were set apart. And he continues in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself, I love this phrase, wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. You know, sisters, you've often heard that phrase. I think Elder Uchtdorf said it in a talk. I was trying to find it this morning, but he talked about not getting involved in the thick of thin things, you know, good, better, best, that type of thing. And then he also talked about when we die, we don't want to be the ones that die that still have music left in us, you know? When we go out, we want to be able to say, like, Paul, I fought the fight, you know, I fought the fight and I fought the good fight and I did everything I could have done and I'm spent, you know? And I thought, I want to try to spin that a little bit and try to do that on a daily basis. You know, really seize that day, as, you know, Thoreau said. Really live in the moment. Really make each day count. You know, doing our callings, serving, being where we're supposed to be, being in that moment. And I think we can do it. And I think it's tricky. And I think we are all busy. We all have a lot of stuff. But I really think it's possible. I want you to turn with me to Moses, chapter 1. Moses is in the Pearl of Great Price. You know, Nelson Mandela made the comment, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said that he rarely, and he didn't say, you know how humble he was, he did not say this out of jest, but he even said when he was in prison, there was rarely a day that he, and I'm paraphrasing, that he went to bed that he didn't feel like he had really made a difference that day. And that he had really put as much of himself as he could out there. And that doesn't mean, you guys, that we're just like serving so much and all over the place so much that we're frazzled. That's not what I'm talking about. Because we need to do things that are healing for our own selves as well. You know, we need to do that. I'm not talking about being so all over the place that we can't deal. But I'm talking about really living in that moment. I'm looking at my cute friend Shelly Brain right now. And I wanted to try something new this year, so guess what I'm doing? I started doing yoga every Monday, which is hysterical because I can barely touch my knees. Seriously, who does yoga if they're not flexible? Me, I'm doing yoga. And the only reason I'm doing it is because Shelly's teaching it. And I trust her. I love her. And it is made, I've only gone twice now, but now my Monday mornings at 10 o'clock are with Shelly Brain in yoga. And it has been wonderful. And I'm not out doing anything else. I'm not taking food to anyone. I'm in there, me, trying to get to the point. My goal is to touch my toes. It's my goal. But the thing that I'm loving about it, it's just my, just a little moment. And as soon as the temple opens, I think it opens this week, I think I'm going to do the little double whammy on Mondays. I'm going to go do initiatory work, and then I'm going to yoga. Does that sound pretty cool? Who wants to come? Seriously, next Monday. Temple and yoga. Shelly made this, she teaches as she speaks as she does toe touches. And she quoted Mother Teresa and she said this, be the living expression of God's kindness. Isn't that beautiful? Kindness in your face. Kindness in your eyes. Kindness in your smile. Kindness in your warm greeting. Isn't that awesome? So when I talk about, you know, living the day, I don't mean just being so frazzled that you're all over the place, but really finding things that matter. filling your soul so that you can serve and be there for others. In Moses chapter 1, if you look in verse 6, Moses says a wonderful thing. With his heavenly Father, he's having this one-on-one moment. This is what happens. The Father and the Son say to Moses, "I have a work for you, Moses. My son, thou art in the similitude of mine only begotten, and mine only begotten is and shall be the Savior." Excuse me. "For he is full of grace and truth." I want you to go back to the very beginning of that verse. Three things the Savior and the Father tell Moses. "Moses, I have a work for you. You're my boy. And you were created in the similitude of our Savior." Isn't that the coolest? Sisters, we are daughters of a heavenly Father. He has a work for you to do. There's a plan for you right now and in your life. And we can do it because we have the Savior with us. Look back to Paul's last words. Look at what he says. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. So he first says, "I have fought a good fight." The next thing he says is, "I have finished my course." Notice that phrase. He has finished his course, his plan. You know, Heavenly Father, we're not all Paul. We can't, you know, most of us cannot be all over Turkey and everywhere teaching the gospel. Heavenly Father has his own plan for each of us. Isn't that awesome to think about and to understand? The Heavenly Father, you guys, has a plan for you. If you look back with me in 1 Timothy, back to chapter 4. Sorry to kind of keep going back and forth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Paul says, "Let no man despise thy youth." And then he says these wonderful words, "But be thou an example of the believers." Isn't that beautiful? An example of the believers. "In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." You know, we can do that, and I know you're all busy, but we can do that. And once again, our greatest example is our Savior. You know, he's always the coolest. He's always the most amazing. And he always gives us stuff that we can do that will make us happier. You know, I think about him when he's on the cross. And I want you to go there for just a moment, because in this point, it really is about the nail. And I think about him nailed to the cross and what that entails. And I don't know if we think about it enough. You think about him nailed to the cross. We know that all of Gethsemane came back while he was on the cross. His Father has withdrawn his spirit while he's on the cross, so the Savior can descend below all things. So now there's nothing you go through that he doesn't know. But this is just maybe one step further. So even in this dire moment, the most brutal moment of his life, I want you to notice what words are going to come out of his mouth. He's going to comfort a thief. He's going to comfort someone who has sinned. He's going to comfort someone who's an outsider and a stranger. And he says, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." This is not when he's hanging out under a tree eating an apple. This is when he is nailed to the cross. That's our guy. That's the one we want to be with. What else does he do? He looks down and he sees the soldiers, you know, ripping apart his coat that his mother probably gave him. That just breaks my heart. And he says, forgive them. You know, they're not sure what they're doing. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't be doing that. He gives them the benefit of the doubt. Again, not in a really happy moment, but while he's nailed to the cross. And then I think probably the moment of moments is when he looks down at his mother and he makes sure that she's going to be okay. You know, sisters, we are busy. We have a lot of stuff going. I've never met someone who's not busy. But we can all be better. Even our busy moments, we can all be more forgiving. We can all be more comforting and giving people the benefit of the doubt. And we can always be looking to serve and to make sure someone in our sphere of influence that needs a boost gets a boost. We can always do that. And then finally, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. The faith. The faith is our Savior. The faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the first principle of the gospel. It is always, always, always about the Savior. Our testimonies and our children's testimonies and what we have in our home need to always be focused and based and founded upon Him, because everything else fails. The world will make fun of you. They'll spit you out, but He never will. He never will. He says in Isaiah, I have graven you on the palms of my hands. It's always about the nail. Your walls are before me. What you're going through right now, He knows. It's always about the Savior. So let's look in our final moments and see some of Paul's words about Him in these last two books of Timothy. Let's look. 1 Timothy 1. Verse 15 and 16, this is where Paul talks about his own experience, his one-on-one moment with Jesus. This is a faithful saying, he says, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world, look how cool, to save sinners. Not awesome. Of whom I am chief, he says. And I think we could all say the same thing, can't we? We've all made mistakes. And then Paul says in verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Isn't that awesome? Go over to chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Go over with me to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. Isn't that awesome? And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I think it was Howard W. Hunter or David B. Haight, one of those guys, said, if we really knew how much Heavenly Father and Jesus loved us, we would stop procrastinating and we would just repent and just get right with them. They love us so much. And the amazing thing is that when we do repent, we're happier. Again, I submit to you, is there one thing Heavenly Father and Jesus ask you to do that doesn't make you happier? There just isn't. Everything they're about is meant to bring you happiness. It is the object and design of your existence. And that doesn't mean that you don't go through heartache. But their whole purpose is to bring you joy. And when we do what they ask, that's why commandments, I almost hate that word. To me, it's ways to be happy. That's what I think we should put in there. Let's have the 10 ways to be happy. Because they all bring me joy. They all bring peace. They all bring this settling that we need in this world that is so busy and so all over the place. Following Jesus always works. Always. Then if you'd look with me in 2 Timothy 4. Amy, I'm almost ready. Verse 16. And Paul, talking about his time in prison, he made these wonderful comments, verse 16 through 18. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Isn't that awesome? The Lord was with me. He strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And will you look what it really is all about, the nail? In the words of Elder Uchtdorf, come and heed the call of the gentle Christ. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.